I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw ups because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that those girls need to go in and do the rest of the competition.
We've already seen our share of Olympic upsets in Tokyo by now, whether it's in soccer or in basketball or in swimming. But when Simone Biles chose to take a back seat yesterday in the middle of these Olympic Games out of a concern for her mental health, it felt like the world stopped. Today, Alyssa Roenick explains why the greatest gymnast of all time withdrew from her team's Olympic final, and what that choice says about who she is and what she survived and where this conversation is headed next. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, July 28th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by UKG. Our purpose is people. Alyssa Roenick, I've been waiting all day to talk to you on a particularly existential day for U.S. gymnastics, so thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been waiting all day to talk to you as well.
The U.S. is not, it turns out, just massive head and shoulders above everybody else in the world, and the difference, Alyssa, in these competitions is oftentimes so razor thin, like the landing of a foot going wrong or a slightly bent knee in the air or even less than that. So when you think back at what you saw today in Tokyo in the women's gymnastics team finals, how does all of that sort of take center stage?
I think there's two things that are sort of merging in 2021. And the first is that the rest of the world, even since 2019, when the U.S., you know, won the world championship by, I think, 2 points over Russia, you know, Russia, China, Great Britain, they are all so much better 2 years later. So they have been playing catch up with the United States, and they are here. And, you know, what we saw also was the incredible amount of pressure on the United States, on Simone Biles in particular, to be perfect meet after meet after meet. The woman has not lost a meet in more than 8 years, not taken second. That pressure got to them, and it got to her.
Yeah, that pressure on Simone, when you saw that unfold, her having to withdraw from the competition in the middle of it, did that surprise you?
Oh, 100%. You know, for two reasons. One, the reason why, you know, the physical reason why we saw her withdraw. You know, the U.S., you know, to set this up a little bit, the U.S. had qualified second to Russia, which was a surprise in itself. But then we said, okay, you know, everything resets, the scores wipe away, we have a new beginning in the team final, and they're rotating with Russia, and they start on vault. The United States is the best in the world at vault. Simone Biles is the best vaulter in the world. This was an opportunity for the United States to really put some distance between them and Russia and make the Russian Olympic Committee team play catch up. And, you know, if there is anything about Simone Biles that we hammer over and again, it is her technical superiority. And so to see her get lost in the air on a vault she does every day was pretty scary.
It doesn't matter what vault she does. It's a showstopper, and it's must-see TV.
And
wow.
Very uncharacteristic vault for Simone, but it looked like she got almost lost in the air.
You know, she was supposed to do a Yurchenko 2.5. You know, when you watch that vault in slow motion, she sort of gets lost in the air. You see her look over her shoulder, and she has the wherewithal to land after just 1.5. So she changed the vault midair, landed low, ran out of it, and you know, walked away uninjured. But I think she realized, and she knows her mind and her body better than anyone, if she was not able to get those two things to connect, that, you know, her routines, her skills are so difficult and so dangerous, it could really lead to catastrophe. And the other thing was, you know, I know she was thinking of the team as well. They are excellent. They have a chance to win this without me. I'm going to put on my cheerleader uniform and my coaching hat, and I'm going to take a different role for the rest of this meet.
Time now, 6:44, and we are following breaking news out of Tokyo, where the official Tokyo 2020 account has tweeted and the Associated Press is confirming that Simone Biles is out of the team gymnastics final. She suffered some sort of injury during the event. She was forced.
Look, the harshest criticism of Simone Biles, of her decision in this case, is to say, well, you let your teammates down. But what you're telling me, Alyssa, is that she seemed to have made a calculation that the version of Simone Biles that showed up was actually, by her own estimation, less helpful than the gymnast who stepped in to replace her.
That is exactly the calculation she made, not to mention the fact that she could get hurt, badly hurt. So, you know, she went out and tried. And this woman whose teammate said afterwards, you know, we would not be silver medalists if not for Simone, not just because of what happened in prelims and today, but because of all she has done for us to push us to this point, to get us here. You know, the idea that she let her teammates down, let her country down, it is just, it's hard to understand. 4 years ago, you know, gymnasts did not believe they, or 5 years ago, that they had agency over their bodies, their decision-making, that they had a choice. They didn't have voices. And so to see in the sport of gymnastics an athlete not only make that decision, but then share it with the world that she was struggling, that she was fighting demons, and that she could not compete is remarkable.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before. And I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back went a little bit better. But then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there. So I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
And I was watching their press conference afterwards, and all the gymnasts were there, to their credit, by the way, at the table, taking questions. Obviously, the questions would be more difficult than they would be under normal circumstances. But what struck me, Alyssa, was, and maybe this is not surprising to you, but everyone seemed just fully supportive of Simone. Like, usually in other sports, for instance, you can sort of sense, okay, there's some tension, some resentment, something there because one of their teammates did not deliver in the way that they had expected. I think, of course, of the Philadelphia 76ers and Ben Simmons, but, you know, that's just still a trauma for me. But in this case, it seemed like everybody was very authentically aligned.
Those gymnasts have a window into a Simone Biles that the rest of us don't see. And they know the pressure that is put on her from the outside. They know the pressure she puts on herself. They understand she is the only survivor who is continuing to compete. They know the stress of wearing that USA Gymnastics leotard. And they also know, you know, she has won them world championship after Olympic gold medal. And I can think of stories for each one of those women, how she has helped them in some way through personal tragedies in their own lives, through moments of, you know, shaken confidence or, you know, not believing they were going to return to the sport after the pandemic shut it down and the delay of the Olympics. And so knowing what she has meant to all of those women, the idea that they would not support her when she needed them. You know, she is always the one lifting up all the women around her. And so, of course, when she needed them, they were going to step up and support her.
Part of the pressure stemmed from the fact that Simone Biles is like reasons 1 through 10 why I think the average American even cares at all about the Olympics. It almost feels like this whole thing has been put on as an exhibition for Simone Biles. Obviously, within the team, though, that's not the reality of their experience. How do you describe that to people who aren't familiar with how this whole ecosystem works?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of an athlete in recent times who has had the level of pressure she's had on her. Because not only is she the face of her sport, of course, we've seen other athletes who have, you know, risen to the level that she has. She has been perfect. She is also, you know, all of the other women who revealed themselves as survivors of Larry Nassar's abuse, none of them are putting on a leotard that says USA Gymnastics on it and competing on the world stage while carrying her sister survivors with her, while carrying the entire world on her back, by being someone who everyone in the sport and in sports at large know, you know, if she tweets something, it creates change. You know, she tweets that I don't want to go back to the Crowley Ranch. The Crowley Ranch is shut down. She tweets that the president of USA Gymnastics posted, you know, an anti-Colin Kaepernick tweet on Twitter. And 4 days later, she's gone. I mean, she understands the power she has and the responsibility and the pressure of that. I cannot imagine it while also having to be perfect at your sport every single day. I mean, no one is perfect at their sport every day. And when she is not perfect, she can, you know, it is not an overstatement to say competing in the mindset she was in and the skills she does, you can die. And, you know, I was thinking today about Carrie Strug and how there's so much debate over whether she should have done that second vault in 1996. And, you know, so many people will say, of course she shouldn't have. Why did no one stop her? We didn't need the score. Dominique Moceanu had already won the gold medal, and no one was putting her health and well-being first. But then an athlete makes a decision to put her health and well-being first, and we all want to tear down that decision because it somehow was not putting her teammates first. I really do commend her for doing the thing she's been pushing the sport to do, which is put athlete health and well-being first.
Yeah, being lost in the air in that moment, is there anything about this competition, when you look back at this now, even though we're still very much living in the present with this, I saw in the press conference that there was a mention of the fact that there aren't any fans, and that has been an impact in ways that surprised me to sort of read about. Does it all make sense to you in retrospect, and what are the factors here that make this all a pretty unique combination of things?
I think it's been a huge factor, especially for athletes in a sport like gymnastics, which is a performance sport. Gymnasts are used to performing on a 4-inch wide beam while someone's floor routine music is going and the crowd is audibly gasping over someone falling off bars. I mean, that is their comfort zone. And not having their families there, not being able to look into the stands and catch her parents' glance, and Simone and all these women just catching the glance of your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, and it just calming you.
A quick note. Overnight, USA Gymnastics announced that Simone Biles would withdraw from Thursday's individual all-around competition, quote, in order to focus on her mental health. Simone will continue to be evaluated daily to determine whether she will participate in next week's individual event finals, end quote. Which means that Jade Carey, who had the 9th highest score in qualifications, will take her place in the all-around. After the break, more from my conversation with Alyssa Roenick on why the response to all of this does feel a little different than it used to, and what that says about the evolution that's underway.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
When you look back at the days and weeks leading up to this, Alyssa, are there signs that you see now in retrospect in your reporting that now seem like they were precursors to this moment?
I think this has been, you know, and my speculation is that this has been bubbling because the first night of trial, she was remarkable. The second night, she was not, and she was in tears, and she is not someone who we see cry. You know, usually, you know, she makes mistakes and she's disappointed and she giggles. The only time most of us, and even her coach Amy Borman had told me, saw her cry was in this 2019 interview at Nationals, I believe, when some new revelations about the Nassar investigation were revealed.
It's hard coming here for an organization and having had them fail us so many times, and they couldn't do one damn job. You had one job. You literally had one job, and you couldn't protect us.
That's the only time most people have seen her cry. But the issue with this year is it was both drawn out. All these athletes went through this incredible depression. when they stopped moving and then they get back into the gym. And then the competition season was so condensed, there was no moment to stop and take stock of your mental health and what you were going through and what you were feeling and experiencing. It was just, you finished a meet and you flew to the next one. I talked to her parents at trials. I mean, they have never not been in the stands for her meet.
Mm.
So I think it all just was building and building and building. It is unusual, and it was gut-wrenching and heartbreaking to watch, but you know, I think it happens to the best athletes. It just happened to the best athlete on the worst day.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games. I think just as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. And I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun. And sometimes that's not the case.
So, Alyssa, you have reported for years on not just gymnastics, but everything surrounding the sport. And I think of your coverage of the Dr. Larry Nassar case, to your 30 for 30 podcast, Heavy Metals, on Bella and Marta Caroli. So the evolution in thinking in this sport, from what you covered in that reporting to what we're seeing now with Simone, how different is it?
This doesn't happen a decade ago. This doesn't happen in Rio. The idea of a gymnast having agency and believing she had even the choice to make is, I mean, it's sort of hard to wrap your mind around when this is a sport you've covered for as long as we have. And so, yes, because of that, because of documentaries like Athlete A, because of the Gymnast Alliance, because athletes from around the world have banded together and said, we are not going to stand up and take emotional, physical, mental abuse any longer. What Simone decided to do is being heralded. I mean, I've seen tweets from almost every member, including Carrie Strug and Amanda Borden from the 1996 Magnificent Seven, saying, you are our queen. We support you. We stand by you. You made the right decision. And the rest of our team stepped up. They're incredible. And they won a silver medal. Those generations talking, you know, across decades to one another. There was so much fear surrounding anything, whether it was tweeting a picture of a piece of pizza or standing up and fighting for your sister's survivors in the wake of Larry Nassar. I mean, the change that has happened in this sport. And, you know, I said this in the piece I wrote. If this is an example of anything, people have been holding up the fact that, you know, the women are dancing between rotations and they came to the men's team final and supported them and watched them. And these are these examples of how the culture has changed. And I think this moment, this decision she made is an even greater example. And it also reminds us that the cultural shift that is happening is being led by the athletes.
So the fact that this is so different as of 2021 versus 2016, Alyssa, as you just said, Rio, that Olympics, how much credit are you giving to USA Gymnastics, the organization, as this movement is concerned?
The organization still has a very long way to go. And I'm not convinced still that the answer isn't to just blow it all up and start over again. Although I know in practice that is far more difficult than in all of our minds. You know, they have made strides and they have people in the organization who I believe now do care, do want to both correct what happened in the past and, you know, I hate to use the term move forward because I just don't believe you can move on and move forward from the greatest sexual abuse revelations in the history of sport. But they have more outlets for the athletes. You know, they have, you know, an app where the athletes can go on anonymously and, you know, make complaints. They can talk. You know, we have seen more athletes speak out about emotional and mental abuse within the sport. And we've seen some coaches be suspended because of that. We also have seen, though, even just recently, people within USA Gymnastics staff, you know, on social media saying incredibly inappropriate things and the response not being quick enough. You have a group of athletes who still, you know, do not have a settlement, do not believe that they have the answers to who knew what when and why didn't they report as it pertains to Larry Nassar. There hasn't been an independent investigation that they are happy with. And so I think until all of those things merge and these athletes truly feel that the people for whom they compete care about them as much as they care about one another and care about themselves, you know, it's going to be very difficult for these athletes to continue competing at the high level that they are. I really do believe that, you know, trust in the, you know, if you think about a football team, right? If you trust the guy standing on your left and the guy standing on your right and the guy behind you, it changes the calculus of how you play. And if these athletes don't trust the coaching staff, the leadership of the organization, I do think we are going to struggle. And so fixing those issues, I do think, has a direct response in how the athletes perform and what USA Gymnastics looks like in the future.
One of the things that feels incredibly important and useful as it comes to progress in this way, Alyssa, is just transparency and honesty. And hearing Simone talk about this in that press conference, there's a world in which, and I wasn't sure we weren't still living in the world I'm about to describe, but there's a world in which you don't admit that you're dealing with mental health, that you're still afraid of being labeled as weak or damaged or broken in your brain, which is, as we know, so much more stigmatizing than any other physical injury. But it seems like Simone, in that way, is also kind of the perfect person to be having an inflection point as mental health is concerned in gymnastics.
Yeah, I mean, look, in every Olympic press conference leading up to this one featuring gymnasts, they didn't share much. And for her to, like I said before, not only make the decision, but to share the why with everyone. You know, she mentioned as well in media after the meet that Naomi Osaka, she had just watched Naomi's documentary. She had been reading what was going on with her at Wimbledon, and it had an impact on her. It reminded her of the power to take agency over your own health and well-being. She's seen athletes like Michael Phelps and her fellow sister survivors be very candid and raw about what they are going through. I was also thinking about the fact that, you know, we spend so much time talking about how the greatest athletes in the world, you know, if you take the 100 greatest athletes at their sport, they're pretty similar physically, right? It's from the neck up that makes them truly remarkable. It's what sets the top one half of 1% apart from the next half of 1%. But if something is going wrong from the shoulders up, if something is feeling broken, we aren't supposed to talk about that. We only talk about the shoulders down, which I would argue is the less important part of that athlete.
I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it.
I think she also knows that by being honest and transparent, she's A, doing the things she's been asking her sport to do, and she's also helping every person out there who sees that and says, oh my gosh, me too, I'm not alone.
So Alyssa, it's really hard, as I assume you found, to not go right onto the internet and basically take a temperature check on where are we as an evolved human race on this topic. What's the range of responses that you're seeing? Because it seems like today has been an inflection point in our attitudes toward the concept of being able to handle the pressure.
I would say Twitter is probably not the best place to take that temperature. Certainly not my Twitter mentions
never
today
is.
After.
Well, the Twitter the story is never the answer to this question.
But, you know, certainly there is the sports fan who is saying, you know, saying she's a choker, she's a quitter. She let her team down. But I also think there is a real difference in how the gymnastics fan, the gymnastics, what we call the gymternet, you know, the message boards and the really informed gymnastics fan and former athletes is reacting to this compared to how the larger sports fan and sports world and average person is reacting to it, because the gymnastics world has been primed to stand up and cheer for a moment like this. For 5 years, there has been a reckoning around the sport. You mentioned the podcast I worked on with Bonnie Ford, and the very last line is a quote from Trudy Kolar, who was a famous Olympic gymnast under the Karolis in Romania. And the last thing she says is, you know, what was the price of all that gold? We've learned, and these athletes all know from their friends, that the pressure that is placed upon them, the cost is great. And if you don't stop and take your own health and well-being into consideration, you are going to spend the next half of your life healing from your elite gymnastics career instead of celebrating it. She is one of the most competitive human beings on the planet. The idea that she made this decision easily, without pain, without heartbreak, without also feeling the things about herself that the ugliest conversation online is saying about her, is absurd. You know, this could not have been an easy decision, which is also what made it so heartbreaking to watch. Instead of pushing it down and pushing through, she's feeling it and dealing with it. And hopefully this will be a positive for her in the long run, for her mental health. For her, that is as important as, you know, risking her safety and her life and the scores for the rest of the team to win a gold medal.
Alyssa Roenick, thank you for giving us a fuller portrait of Simone Biles and the sport you know so well.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, as always.
All right, coming up, what it feels like when a country wins its first gold medal ever, after almost a century in the making.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. 97 years. The Philippines has been trying to hear its national anthem play at the Olympics for 97 years, dreaming of a gold medal, of a way for a former colony of Spain and the United States to not only stand atop the world, but express itself to it. But the people of the Philippines had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait until Heidelin Diaz took the Olympic weightlifting stage on NBC this week.
For gold!
Hang on!
Did she jerk it?
She did.
Diaz did! 3 white lights! It's gold for the Philippines!
Oh my goodness, this is absolutely unbelievable.
At long last, the Philippines, with its first ever Olympic gold medal in any sport, and it comes in women's weightlifting.
Heidelin is maybe 5 feet tall and a sergeant in the Philippine Air Force, and she finished second to last in her Olympic debut in Beijing back in 2008. But on Monday, with a century on her shoulders, facing down China, the Goliath of lifting, she set an Olympic record at age 30 by clean and jerking 280 pounds, more than twice her body weight, something she'd never done until that fateful moment. not even in practice. As she explained to reporters like Gretchen Ho.
Actually, hindi ko alam na Olympic record na ginagawa ko. Hindi din ako makapaniwala nandun yung pangalan ko sa Olympic record. So, I'm really thankful. Grabe, grabe si God, grabe si God.
All of it felt like a risk. It felt like a kind of crazy all-in bet, the kind she's been making for her entire life. Growing up in poverty, making barbells out of plastic and concrete, and then as an adult in this pandemic lockdown, lifting giant plastic water jugs with a bamboo pole. In 2019, in fact, Heidelin turned to Instagram embarrassed, admitting she needed sponsors to fund her training regimen for Tokyo, because even though the Philippines is obsessed with sports, and as a Filipino-American, I can tell you how the country loves basketball more than America does, and how it elected Manny Pacquiao to its Senate, Heidelin Diaz, who won silver in Rio, did not benefit from political favor. In 2019, it was actually the opposite. The repressive administration of President Rodrigo Duterte not only shortchanged her training, they'd gone so far as to tag Heidelin in a brainwormed diagram they made of people who were supposedly trying to plot against the embattled president, an allegation a confused and terrified Heidelin fully denied. But all of that, of course, was then. This week, those very same politicians are now calling for national unity in congratulating Heidelin Diaz. And as deeply cynical as that alone makes me feel, they're going to have to try a lot harder to ruin this story for me. Because now the story of Heidelin Diaz is about so much more than even the gold medal itself, honestly. It's about everyone who tried to climb that medal stand in front of the entire world by betting on themselves. It's about not just Heidelin, the individual, but also all the people back home she represented. A people whose song can finally, after 97 years, be heard. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.